Blog Talk Radio.
Let us hear from you.
welcome to Word Sexy Radio, and I'm your host, Red Snapper, and we also have our special guest host, who's always on here all the time, my brother, D.V. Hinn. How you doing, brother?
What's up with you, man? Long, long day.
You sound like you're down, man. What's going on, man? You didn't get none this weekend or what?
More like I got too much this weekend.
Oh, you might have to explain that one. Well, so how's things going with you, man? How's the book world going?
Oh, man, it's good. You know, looking forward to swinging by St. Louis this weekend. So,
oh, yeah, that's right.
I'm putting my ducks in order
definitely.
For that one.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So for those of you who don't know, this weekend in St. Louis, there is the Fall Into Books Literary Conference that's going to be going on at the Marriott there by the hotel, by the airport. And it's going to be a lot of named authors that's going to be in town. And they, you know, if you can, if you're in the area, you might as well take a chance to come on out and see some of us out there that's going to be there. So we'll be happy to, get you books, sign books, talk to you, and do whatever it is we need to do and get you on your way. So that's what we're talking about. But so you had a hard day today, huh? Working hard, huh?
Yeah, man. Long days make fun feel nice, you know, and that's my philosophy. So it's just been kind of, it's Monday. You know? And in Latin, they call Monday Luna, and you know what it is. Luna means crazy. But that's what Monday
that's
is.
Right,
like,
that's right. That's right. That's it. Well, we're supposed to have two guests. I seen that Miss Cotton was on and she got dropped. I guess she'll be coming back. And I hadn't seen Pink, so we'll just go ahead on with the show. The show is, scheduled for 2 hours today. So if we don't have them, we'll have to come up with 2 hours worth of something. I'm sure we can knock something out and bring something in. But anybody who have any questions, if they want to call in, the number is 347-215-8539. This is Word Sexy Radio, and we do have this is Grown Folks Radio. So anything that you want to talk about is kind of a free for all Monday here. We're going to be talking about whatever you want to talk about. So if you want to call in, we'll answer questions. We can talk about our books, or we can talk about subjects that you might want to talk about. We can listen to DV talk about his weekend or whatever you want. You know, we can do that. You know, that's what it's all about today on Word Sexy Radio. We was hoping that Pink could be here because she was supposed to be bringing the subject. And Cotton was here. I don't know what happened. She dropped. So maybe she'll be back. But if not, then we'll go ahead on. And I'm going to take this time real quick to kind of talk a little bit about this new book that's out that I just put out here. It's called Acts of Congress, and it's doing pretty good. It's, of course, we always like people to support even more. It's a political sexual thriller, right, if you want to call it that. It's got a lot of everything you want in it, so it's got intrigue, it's got mystery, it's got murder, it's got sex, it's got it all. So if you get a chance, go out there to Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Books & Mirror, where all books are sold, and you can get a copy of that. And I'm sure, DV, what's the deal on your anthology? Because I know next Monday we're going to be having the your crew on. Isn't that true?
I thought, was it next Monday? I thought it was the
26th. Well, let me see. I can tell you. I thought it was next Monday, but I could be wrong. It might be the 26th. Let me see. What is this? September 12th, right? I think we have you guys scheduled for, let's see, I'm too far down. I'm looking too far on my schedule. Yeah, we do have you guys scheduled. It's not next week because we're supposed to be not having.
Right, because of
the
conference. St. Louis, right.
Right, right. So, yeah, the 26th is that. So we want to make sure that all of you that are listening, the Naughty Ink authors, or that are involved with the anthology that they have. Why don't you tell us about that, DV, while we're, you can tell it better than me.
Well, I wish Melody was here because she could do it much better than I could. But right now, the book is called Untapped, and it's an anthology of erotic firsts. Everyone is tackling, it's not your prototypical erotic first. Each story has a twist and a turn. I've heard of some people, I've listened to some people's stories, I've even read a few of them, and they're actually pretty good, and the thing is, you never want to say stuff like that, mostly because tastes tend to vary, but I'm actually surprised by a lot of these guys, that I'm just shocked, and the stories are really well written. You know, it doesn't really take a whole lot of edits and rewrites. I mean, off the top, it's like, damn, they really put it together. But what I can do is talk about my particular story. It features two characters. Boy meets girl. Boy loses girl because he finds out that girl is, you know, a lesbian. So he contemplates having a sex change in order to be with her. So that's basically the, you know, the situation that my story goes around. But remember, it's a short story, so it's a condensed story, and I wish I could flesh it out more, but, you know, it is an anthology, and, you know, I don't want my story to be 50 pages and the next person to be 10 pages, so, you know, that's kind of not fair.
Right.
So, you
okay,
know,
well,
write,
you know, yeah, go ahead, I'm sorry.
You know, I'm just trying to write a, you know, a well-thought-out story and trying to condense it as much as I can.
Okay. Well, you know, first of all, before we go any further, because I think everybody's here now, but before we go any further, I do want to ask this one question, and you can answer that, and then we'll go into the subject, whatever the subject is tonight, because we're going to find out here shortly. But what made you come up with the idea or the concept of changing yourself into a, having a sex change to get with this woman? The love is that strong that you would actually do that. And when I say you, I'm not talking about you personally. I'm talking about the character. Yes.
The thing is, Red, I love tackling taboo subjects. And in our community, you know, plastic surgery, sex change, things like that are extremely taboo. So I felt like, well, you know, I'm going to make this a love story like no one's really heard before. So, I mean, and that was the thing. There is no story that hasn't been done, but it's all in how you tell it. You know, it's all in how the author tries to spin his or her tale that, you know, draws people into. So I just felt like I could tell a really great story about some taboo subjects and make it relatable. And what, you know, there's not a lot of people that can relate to a man who contemplates, changing his sex just to be with a woman he loves. But, you know, it's not an unheard of story.
Yeah, well, that's pretty good. And it kind of takes me into, like, Acts of Congress itself because, like I said, that story, without trying to give it away too much, there is something kind of like that that goes on in that book. But at this time, I want to go ahead and say, ladies, are you here?
I am here.
And okay. I'm here, too.
All right, well, we're so glad to have you both on the show, and I did introduce you already, but if you could, would you like to go ahead and let the audience know who you are? Either one of y'all.
Hi, everybody. It's Miss Cotton, the soft-spoken poet.
Uh-huh.
And
okay.
I'm here to hang out with Red, DZ, and Miss Lady. Thanks.
All right. Miss Pink, are you there?
Hello, yes I am. Can you hear me?
Oh, yes, we can hear you now, yes.
Good.
We just wanted you to kind of introduce yourself there. Just want to kind of get you introduce yourself.
Okay, I'm author Pink, and that's with a Y, P-Y-N-K. And I started writing erotica. My first erotica book came out in 08, and that was Erotic City, about a swingers club in Atlanta, a fictional swingers club in Atlanta. And
sure
then, believe me, it was.
Okay.
And then
okay.
Sexaholics came out in 09 and 69. I'm sorry, Sexaholics came out in 2010, and 69 came out this year. So my next book, Politics, Escorts, Blackmail, comes out in 2012.
Wow. I can't wait for that one. Okay. Okay. Well, just to get the show going, Miss Pink, I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think that when we talked last, I think that you were tasked to bring us a subject this evening that we're going to be discussing. And we got a two-hour show tonight, just in case y'all didn't know. So we can talk about one subject for the first segment, and then we can go into another after that, and we can also talk about books and stuff if you like, because that's what we do here. But I know this Monday's, you know, the first Mondays of the month, and this being the second one, usually, you know, we try to have some subjects that people might want to call in and find out about. And let me let everybody know the number real quick before we let you start talking. The number is 347-215-8539, and this is Word Sexy Radio, and it's Grown Folks Radio. For those who don't know, you can say whatever the fuck you want on this show. So, Pink, we're going to let you go ahead and get started. And I promise I won't cut you off this time.
You know what? You're a great host. You need to stop. We just get to talking, and, you know, we just get energized. You got people
I know,
excited.
I know.
You got people excited.
Okay. Okay.
You know, well, we've covered so many topics in the last couple of calls, but I think, I think we kind of want to keep it on an erotic tip. We don't have to. We could just do a relationship. I was thinking about a topic that had to do with strong women in general, just because of what's going on with Serena Williams and, you know, how women are called bitches for certain reasons, and
right.
how we kind of lead the dance and men feel emasculated. We could talk about that whole thing with relationships, or we can talk about people who pay for sex. There are grown folks out here, you know, married people who feel that they need to pay for sex to have something different without the ties involved. So, you know, that's another topic that I think would be interesting.
Okay, well, let's go ahead and talk about
one.
The strong woman thing. I think that's a good one. First, we'll talk about the strong woman thing because that
okay.
is a big thing. If for those who didn't know, what went down yesterday with Serena, and we'll kind of let Pink bring it up, and then we'll just kind of start from there after her commentary on what happened with that, and we can kind of talk about that. And anybody wants to call in, please call in, and we'll definitely discuss it.
Well, yeah, it was yesterday during the U.S. Open. I think, I was watching the tennis match, and I saw Serena starting to get geared up because of a call. I mean, she hit the ball, and she screamed in a way that was so loud that the judge interpreted that it interfered with the other player's ability to return, whether it was in or out, that she shouldn't have screamed that loud. So Serena, you know, it got to her, and she was going to walk away, and then she walked back and said something else and said something else, and there was an article that said she flipped out. I don't think she flipped out, but I definitely think that she let that judge know that she didn't appreciate it and that she felt they were after her. And it did go on and on. I don't condone anger. I know one post I saw people were saying that people that supported her condone anger. But I do think sometimes you need to put your foot down. But when you let people get under your skin, they've got you, too.
Right.
But some people keep, you know, in one article, this guy said, well, she's this big black woman. She's big and she's black and she's athletic. And she's trying to act like a football player. And I just get tired of those lines being crossed about, you know, women being strong, and right away they're called bitches. So that's something I found very interesting.
Well, you know, DV, I know you're ready to jump in, but let me say this real quick. What the fuck they talking about? She's a big woman. That's a big old Amazon. I like all that. What you talking about? Go ahead, DV.
You know what, like, really pisses me off about all this is that when in the era of the 80s, when we had John McEnroe and Pete Sampras, and they were throwing rackets,
right.
and they were
exactly.
upset, you know, it was all part of the game. You know, that's who they were. They were excitable. But, you know, fast forward 20 years and let, you know, a woman, let alone a black woman, be passionate about something all of a sudden, you know, now she's acting out and she's crazy. My feelings are like this. In an athletic, whenever there's, you know, an athletic competition going on, tempers and blood pressure is going to run high. So if you think
mm-hmm.
that you won something and someone takes that away from you, you're going to be frustrated. You're going to be mad. I don't care whether you play tennis or golf. You're not going to simply be demure. You know, it's just not the nature of the game. Competition, by its very nature, you know, is going to have frustration. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's just raw emotion because that's all you're mm-hmm. acting on. You're acting on, you know, skill and emotion, and that's it. You know, so, I mean, me personally, you know, don't get me wrong. I think the woman's fine, you know, but that has no bearing
yeah, yeah.
on. that has no bearing on what I feel. I feel like, look, you know, if she was upset, they need to let her be upset. No different than when Mia Hamm ripped off her shirt after the women's soccer team won the Gold Cup. She's excited. Let
exactly.
her rip off her shirt and let it mean nothing to what it is.
Right.
I agree. This article says she is a large, black, muscular woman who came from the tough town of Compton, California, not a skinny country girl with blonde hair, and people aren't used to seeing her.
How long they been in the game,
excuse.
First of all? How long have they been in the game? We know these people have – we know that Serena and now Venus, well, we know she had to retire for a little while, go into hiatus.
Mm-hmm.
But How long have those girls been in the game? They've been in the game since, what, the 90s, right? So, yep. So what do you mean
they know
people
the game.
Are not used to seeing her? People are not used to seeing her. What the hell is that about?
It's simply a euphemism that you know, people, I don't say white people, but it's a euphemism that people tend to use when they see black people get angry. Well, they're so angry, it must be where they grew up. It must be because they're lifting weights, and maybe they're on steroids or HGH, or maybe, you know, it's because of oppression. They don't really want, you know what I'm saying? They try to use anything and everything, some environmental factor, as to why people get mad. People get mad. It is what it is.
Right.
I agree.
Well, you know, I'm just going to say this. You know, I just think that, and I hate to say it, but, you know, a lot of people who think that we've arrived, I've never thought we have. And even with the black president that we have now, you know, it just really shows us that we have not, because of all the things that he has to go through every day just being the president. So how do we sit here and think that Serena's situation is going to be any different? Anytime there's something that goes on with black people or women or anything that's not white, and I'm not trying to sound prejudiced, but I'm just being what it is, you know, they're going to have something to say about it. And now by them putting in the articles, if I was her, I would sue.
Yeah.
A big black woman from Compton.
You.
Come on.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
I mean, that right there is just...
I read this, and this guy, he's a white guy, his name is Greg Couch, and I'm reading this going, okay, in the end he's saying that she had every right and that it's okay, and, you know, that...
That's a cleanup. That's just a cleanup.
Yeah, that's a cleanup, but he did put
that's
that...
That's like Sam
Obama
was a monkey. Exactly. I'm sorry, baby.
Well,
go
that's
ahead.
The thing,
go
they
ahead.
Never forget when they turn on that TV... It's different for them. When they look at the president,
right.
It's different. Not every white person. I'm just saying when the racism is involved. So, you know, large,
right.
Black, muscular. So what you have to mention, she's from Compton. You have to compare her
why
to
you
a white
say
girl
she's muscular.
Right, right. Well, what's the deal? I don't understand that. I felt like I was entertained, but I kind of understood her frustration. Now, whether she expressed it in the right way, whether she should have cut it off, all that's for open, you know, discussion. But I think that it really bothers me when I see things like this, where we only see the color. Like you said, you know, the president is trying to do things for our nation, but we'd rather see the economy go to hell in a handbasket than agree and go and get along. It's like we want to make it hard on him. It's not
that's
Republican
because they
want to
put it in. They wanted to go. Well, they wanted to go down in history that that the man was the worst president in the world. I mean, they got to try to make it worse than what we just had before because, you know, Bush was really fucked up, and I'm saying that. I don't care if nobody cares or get mad at me about that, but he was fucked up, okay? Now, my thing is, you know, he never was supposed to be president. He even said himself that he was supposed to be president. You know, that was just something that happened. He didn't even know it. He was like, damn, I'm president? But anyway, my thing is, you know, they got to find something wrong, so they got to make it. They're going to use this whole thing is if he doesn't get reelected, or even if he does, after the term, of course, we probably will never see another black president. But the thing is they're going to say, well, we gave y'all a fucking chance. Y'all fucked it up. That's what they want to do, and that's what they're working on. That's what they're trying to do. And I think this is the same thing. Yeah, go ahead.
No, the thing is, and I'm a jump off of what something you say, Red, and I tell people this all the time. Sometimes you get to that point in where white people accept you. You know what I'm saying? And they're like, oh, you know, they can do nothing wrong, like the Tiger Woods and the O.J. Simpson.
Right.
They were white
right.
People loved them some O.J. Simpson. White people loved them some Tiger Woods. Then when O.J. Simpson,
do you think they
went,
did?
You know, and but when O.J. Simpson supposedly, you know, killed his white wife, they turned on him in a heartbeat. They said, we accepted you, and look what you did to us. So even after he was acquitted, they rode him. Every time O.J. did something, it was reported. They made jokes about him, how he got off and everything. They talked about him like a dog to the point where he went back to jail. Now you don't hear no more O.J. jokes at all. But you would hear him all the time when he was running around free. No different with Tiger
right.
Woods. They loved them some Tiger Woods. When Tiger Woods cheated on his white wife, all of a sudden they're like, okay, we accepted you in our homes, and this is what you did to our white woman. Now we ain't going to let you live it down. So now they talk about him like a dog. They may want to see
you know,
him play golf because the ratings go up, but they still talk about how much of a dog Tiger Woods is.
You're right. But you
and
know, when he won
that. Like, well, and like
when
I said,
he won,
you know,
go ahead.
Okay, I'm not bad. Like the president. You know, when they voted him in, white people were like, man, you know, you give such great speeches, and we love you, and we want to prove that we're not racist. But then when you don't follow their rules and their ideals, they're turning on you. They quick to turn you because they're like, look, we let you in our house. We voted you in to the highest office in the world, and you're not listening to us. So because you're not listening to us, we're going to make sure that you never get this post again, and we may never let another black person get it for the next 100 years. You know, so they will let you in the door, but as soon as you don't do everything that they ask you to do, then all of a sudden they turn their back on you and you're not
okay. Well, I agree with you to a point on that, but my thing I want to say real quick, and I'm going to let Cotton speak because I know she wants to speak. I was just going to say this because it's on my mind. I wanted to get it out there. When you was talking about Tiger Woods, when he first won his first green jacket down at the Masters, you know, that was the first thing that they said was, well, what's the victory meal going to be, chitlins and
chicken, yeah.
And you know, chicken and all this stuff, you know what I'm saying? So they didn't accept him. You said that they may have, but, you know, I mean, some of them may have.
As a vast majority. But see, remember, only one golfer that openly said that. What was his name, Cotton Simmons?
Yeah.
I think that was his name. Cotton something or other.
But he spoke for the race, though, in a way. I mean, I can't say that, but I'm just saying he spoke for a lot of them.
But remember, we as black people, we say stuff under our breath, too. You know what I'm saying? So there's always going to be that underlying, you know, racist comment. But as a whole, as a general, who was out there supporting Tiger Woods when it came to wherever Tiger Woods went? It wasn't black people. We was watching them on TV. There would be white folks flying from city to city just to see that man hit a little ball into a hole. And they'd be pumped about it.
Yeah, that's true. They did say, what's the one time when 100 white men was following a black man and they wasn't after him? It was following Tiger Woods. You're right about that. Okay. Well, Ms. Cotton, was you getting ready to say something? I'm sorry if I cut you off. I'm trying not to cut people off today.
Yeah, I was going to say something.
But go ahead.
I was going to say something to the nature of I'm not a racist, and so I get irritated listening to people talk about white this, black that, and how the white man is still holding me back, or, you know, this white person did. I don't want to hear that because we have nowhere near as hard as our ancestors had it. You got it damn easy. So for you to be complaining about the white cop stopped you because you blah blah because you black, so what? He probably stopped the Mexican because he was Mexican. He probably stopped the white man because he looked like a skinhead. You don't know that. You're just putting that on yourself because you want something to blame on somebody else instead of taking responsibility for your own actions. And all light of that, we do it to each other every single day. So if we're doing it to each other, do you not think another race is not going to do it to us? They
exactly.
treat us the way we treat each other. So, you know, what's the difference? Some of us treat white people like they're superior. So what do white people do? They treat each other superior.
Right. Okay, well, let's just try to get the subject back where we were in the beginning when it was talking about strong black women. So let's, I think we kind of, you know, we went to the side, but that was good because all of that was needed so that we can come to a point of what is the definition of a strong black woman? That's what I want to hear. So who want to answer that between the two women?
I'm laughing. You must know.
No, you know what? I have my own. Women would probably never like to hear me speak too much about that because I feel like every woman is strong in her own way, and I never need to tell you that I'm a strong black woman because of the way I carry myself. You're going to know I'm a strong black woman. I'm not going to need to yell at you. I'm not going to need to raise my voice. I'm not going to need to belittle you or any of that so that you know that I'm a strong black woman. You're going to know. I never have to. I hear women saying, I'm a strong black woman. Well, I can't tell. You know, your actions are saying something totally different. You know, a strong black woman doesn't mean that I need to be boisterous all the time. Sometimes a strong black woman is silent. She says absolutely nothing, but you know that she's strong in who she is.
That's
okay.
True.
I like that.
She's right. To bridle your tongue takes strength. And it is easy to just kind of come off the cuff and say whatever. I think there's much more strength in being quiet and giving yourself a moment than there is in you know, just kind of rattling off. But I do think in society that's important. What happens in relationships, and we're not called strong black women by other women, we're called that by men. Strong black women have been labeled because we are trying to wear the pants. And that is a traditional.
Let's talk that subject.
Well, wearing the pants as in being the king of the household, being the king in the relationship, being the king in the conversation, and forgetting that we are queens and we are guilty of that. I'm saying we because I have been through the relationship training with Dr. Pat Allen and other people when I had a relationship talk show in L.A. about how we women want to be respected so much at work and with our kids that we don't know how to handle our men. And I'm not talking about in the bed. I'm just talking about in general conversation. We touched on this a little bit. But I think that when most men, I might be, you know, I don't know if you gentlemen agree with me or not, but when you think of a strong black woman, you think of someone that maybe was a single mother or had the kids and raised them by herself and worked all night and was, you know, cleaning and cooking and doing and bringing home the bacon and all that too. But also it can be a negative connotation nowadays that strong means that we are castrating our men. And that's what I'm worried about.
Oh, I love that term. I love the term that you use there. Yes.
Well, you know
talk
what?
That, I'm castrating.
Oh, I love that, because when you cut a motherfucker's balls off, he ain't shit, especially when you got these women that will be with you, and they belittle you because they make more money than you or whatever the case is. You know, they feel like you ain't got something to say because you make less money or whatever the reason.
Mm-hmm.
You know, are the ones that give you one nut and that's it, that's all you can get, you know, roll your ass over and get the fuck away, you know, that kind of shit. So I just want y'all to kind of elaborate on that.
Your input is equal to you. Your input is equal to income type of argument.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. That's you know.
But you can't say a woman and I say this for the women that are listening. You can't tell a man that you're independent and then turn around and ask him to pay for dinner. If you're independent, then do that. Because what I see that's happening is and a lot of our men are confused, and then the women understand why they don't understand us, because you're confusing him. You just told him that you can stand on your own, but yet you want him to turn around and be with you. Or if he opens the door for you, you tell him you don't need him to open the door for you. So either you want him to be the man or you don't. So you got to make
a choice. So is chivalry dead?
You can't pick.
Is chivalry dead?
No, it's just maimed.
You don't get to pick and choose when he can be a man. Let him be a man all the time, not when you want him to be the man. Let him be the man 24/7. That's what it's
okay. Well, let me put this number out again so we can get some more callers in. The number is 347-215-8539. This is Word Sexy Radio, and Grown Folks Radio is what we are. So we're talking about that subject now, about strong women. What's the definition of a strong woman? And we want to get y'all to call in and kind of give us some feedback. And I think we may have a number. Let me see. We got a caller right here. Let me see. 316, calling out of Wichita, Kansas. What's state your name, where you calling from, brother?
My name is Larry Ledoux.
Well, how you doing, Larry Ledoux?
What's up?
Hey,
all right.
I just want
just
to
so y'all
greetings.
Know, this is my little brother right here, Larry Ledoux. I had to let him get on. Okay, go ahead.
I just want to say this. I appreciate what y'all talking about. I admire your show. And I just want to say this to y'all that, you know, from just hearing what y'all just said a while ago and everything, how can two confused people know how to treat each other when you got people out here that say that they're a man and you got people that say that they're a woman, but at the same time they're playing games with themselves and they're playing games with everyone else? And it's like, you know, I hear because of past relationships I've had, and I've seen standing outside of relationships and looking in, you know, for my friends and stuff like that, it's like I've seen my partners play these games, and when they should be teaching and enriching their woman instead of, you know, leading her somewhere that they know that they don't want her to go. Because it's like, if I put it like this, the woman that I have in my life, I'm going to love her, I'm going to appreciate her, and I'm going to be considerate. And I'm going to think about her and not all about myself. But you got people that are so selfish nowadays, all they think about is themselves. So how can that work out? You know what I'm saying? How can you help your woman to be strong? You know, I understand what the young lady said a while ago about women being strong, being independent and everything, but how can you help her to continue being independent? You know what I'm saying? To you know, you can't take away from her. You got to let her be her. and you got to help her to grow and let her grow, you know what I'm saying, just as well as a man growing with his woman. You know what I'm saying? Do y'all understand what I'm talking about?
Yeah, but look, what I was going to say is that you don't need to, you don't necessarily have to help her be independent. Her when you're in a relationship with the right person that is God sent, I just wanted to put that out there. I had to throw my God card out there. If that person is God sent and you guys are both equally yoked, you're not going to have to, her focus is going to be on you and your focus is going to be on her. So neither of you should want for anything, right? You got somebody that's only focused on their needs, then that ain't the person for you. You need to get rid of that person, like, immediately.
Okay. Pink, I know you got something to say on that.
What?
I mean, I think that we tend to say that we should let people be who they are, but they're going to be who they are because we can't let a man be a man either. You know, he's either going to open the door and you're going to follow his lead in certain ways or you're not. We can't step back and say, okay, now you can be a man because I'm not going to be one. You can't give him permission to be what you're not. If you're a queen, let be the queen and let him be the king. But I think whether you've got money or not, a man paying for a meal or giving to you, men want to feel needed. I hear women say, I don't need a man, I'm independent. Yes, you may not need a man, but you want one. And men like to be needed. Men like to maybe listen to what you have to say and help you figure it out and maybe buy you a meal or surprise you and pick the movie and pick the whatever. And we're so busy telling them what to do and I don't need you and I'm liberated because we saw a lot of
put your dick this side and stroke me on this side and don't fuck me that way. And go ahead. I know. Go ahead.
I'm
going to
interject.
You know
you don't mind it in bed. Don't even try it. You don't mind it in bed.
Yeah, this okay, put it like this? Okay, yeah,
all right. I'm going to interject something right now because this is the truth. There are no absolutes when it comes to men and women. There's nobody that can fulfill that role 100% of the time. There are times where women are going to take the dominant role and there are times where men are going to take the dominant role. But more than anything, what women fail to realize is men love to be listened to. They feel like if they have control over something or if they're right about something, that, you know, it's fine if the woman acknowledges that he's right. We have so many women out there that are so combative that every time a man says something, he's automatically wrong simply because he's a man and you don't care what he thinks or it's not so much as that. But the thing is, like I said, men love to feel like they contribute to something.
Right. Now, you're right on that. I agree with you on that. But also, I think that women, you got to let women also know that they're right, too, because you can't just, you know, like you said, it's two-way. It's got to be, you got to know when to make it, you know, when to do it and when not to. It's damn if you do, damn if you don't. Go ahead. I know somebody has something to say. Go ahead.
You're saying, because I hear that. I've been in relationships like that where he couldn't say shit to me ever. And that's because he had pissed me off to the point to where he was no longer man to me. I no longer had respect for him. So once it got to that point, it was time for me to go. So if you're in a relationship with somebody who's always finding fault in everything you say, then again, I'm going to say, it's time to go. It's time to get out. That ain't the one. Like, people start this relationship, and the first thing, and women do it more so than men, they cry about being in a relationship with a man you know ain't right for you, but you're going to stay, and then you blame him for your hurt. It's your fault that you got hurt again and again and again and again. Because
you're right.
Didn't
amen.
Your ass out. Yep. It's time to go. Not the one. She's not the one.
So, Larry, do you have another question?
Yeah,
Larry?
I just want to say this. I was trying to say this. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yeah,
we can hear you. Go ahead.
Some people, man, I just got to say this. You know, I'm not saying that what I'm saying is the right thing, but this is what I really believe. Some people is just fucked up. And,
you can tell he's part of my family, huh? Okay.
I mean, but what I'm saying is this. I understand
some
that everybody has their own beliefs. Everybody
right.
has their own beliefs and stuff like that, and I understand that. What is it based
on? Let me say real quick. My uncle used to say, you know, find somebody just as fucked up as you and live happily ever after.
That's it. Ain't that it?
Okay. Don't finish what you were saying.
What I'm trying to say is that, you know, what we learn, you know, sometimes we kind of like be selfish in our own way and the things that we be doing and stuff like that, like what I was trying to say a while ago. And I think that a lot of it is that, you know, our values, you know, each individual has values. So whatever their values is and whatever they believe in, that's what they try to bring to the table. And a lot of disagreement comes because a lot of us want to be in control.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Everybody want to be right. That's
so in other words, you got to learn how to communicate.
Right.
Communication is very important. So
yeah.
You got to be a good listener as well as you got to be a good listener as well as you are a good talker.
That's
so,
right. I mean, you just can't, your relationship just can't be based on sex.
Right.
Say that again. It can't be based on what?
Can't be based on sex.
I disagree.
That's where
I will vehemently disagree.
It is so damn true. Isn't that true?
A lot of relationships go wrong.
Did we disagree?
Did you say you disagree? I was talking to my host, my guest, host, my sidekick. What's up, babe? Did you say you disagree?
No, I was just joking.
Oh no.
Okay. You know they was ready to go to hell off on your ass. You know that, right? Okay.
You know,
well,
there are some nice people out there in the world, and you know, just like there's bad people. But the thing of it is that everybody should be conscious of what it is that they're walking into, and a lot of shit can be avoided.
Exactly. First of all, I think what you got to do is you got to definitely come to the grips of what it is that you want in a relationship, first of all, and then try to seek that. But when you seek it, you got to make sure you can't try to make somebody be something that you want. In other words, just like Ms. Cotton was saying a few minutes ago, you can't create no bullshit. If the woman ain't what you want, just because you like the way she look and everything, then she's not doing the things you want, and you try to create her to be something, you know, that's just not going to work. You know, you got to try to take your time and try to find the people that have the same mindset that you have as far as what you're going for and your goals. And that's where the equally yoked part comes in. You know, you got to definitely be, you know, try to find someone that's going in the same path as you, that's trying to do the same things, or, you know, understand what you're doing. Because I can say for myself, I'm not married today because, well, for a lot of reasons, but one of the reasons was because of the books I write. The person that I was married to could not stand that and couldn't handle that. You know, they were going in one direction, I was going in another. But not because of the books is the reason why I got the divorce. The divorce happened because of other things that was going on, and the books just happened to be part of that. So if you're not going in the same direction with the person that you're with, you know, and you can't communicate with them to find out what's going on, then why are you wasting your time? And I think that's what Ms. Cotton was kind of hitting on as well. So,
yeah.
But we got another hour and like 15 minutes, and we're going to definitely keep this going for another 10 minutes at least, and then we're going to try another subject because I think we had two subjects to talk about. But, Larry, did we answer all your questions for you?
No.
Good. Oh, you got another question. Okay, so what's your next question?
I was like, no.
You have another question we can answer? Because we'll let you have one more because I think there's some other callers that we got to let in.
That's
but,
fine.
But, yeah, go ahead.
Fine.
What's your question?
I just wanted to ask y'all, you know what I'm saying? I mean, you know, the thing that y'all was talking about with Tiger Woods and all that, you know what I'm saying? I mean, I'm not trying to change the subject or nothing like that, but, you know, people when you're doing, I just put it like this, I'm going to speak in general. When you're doing good, people will praise you. But when you're doing bad, they talk about you like a dog.
Yeah. And I guess that's with anybody, right?
So
it really doesn't matter,
you know,
if it's black
just happens,
or not.
It just happens. It don't matter. It don't matter what color you is. You know what I'm saying? It don't matter, you know.
Okay, so what's your question, though? You said you had a question.
Well, my question is that why people do that?
Oh, damn. That's very broad. Who wants to hit that one? I mean, damn. Hank, you want to try that?
I just want to know.
Okay.
I just want to know. They didn't want to
Ms.
see
Cotton
you
got it.
Well.
Go ahead. Okay.
They didn't want to see you do well in the first place. And
so
as long
you're saying they're haters anyway.
Right, right, exactly. It's just like as long as I can ride your coattail while you're doing well, I don't want to have the same. I don't want to get that bad publicity. But if you're doing well, I want to get the trophy with you. So I want to stand alongside with you as long as you're doing well. People never, for the most part, the majority of people, they never really want. They don't genuinely want you to see you do well. If they're riding your coattail while you're doing well, it's because they want something from you. Because the minute they can't get nothing, look at what happened to Hammer. He had a whole bunch of people on his coattail.
Yeah, he was paying motherfuckers to be with him. Yeah. But let me say something real quick. Let me say something real quick. You're right, and we can even use it in the field that we're in the literary game that we're in. You know, there are so many people, and I see this more because I'm around more black authors than I am white or other types of authors. But what I see in this thing is you got different categories that they try to put you in. First of all, you have mainstream authors, and then you have authors that are independent, what I call indie authors, which are now more of them now out there than it was before. Okay, and so a lot of times what I see, sometimes some of the mainstream authors will, and I'm not saying all of them, so please, if y'all listening to me, don't get mad at me and shit. But what I'm saying is that sometimes a lot of them will play you like you ain't shit because you're not with a main company, but. Right. You know, it's like you have to do a little bit more than those who are with a mainstream company because you got to try to show that you can or whatever. Or, you know, they look at your books, and if it's not done well, they want to look at the editing more tighter and all that. I just think that, you know, it's kind of fucked up in anything. You know, and what I'm saying is, hey, Larry, you can't be talking to whoever that is in the background. Okay, look. Now, what I'm saying is you have to. I'm gonna put you on mute, man. What you have to do is, you know, you gotta treat everybody the same because we're all in the same thing. And you have people that actually get mad if you're reading somebody else's books. I mean, there's enough books out there for everybody to read that. We all can get a piece of it. But, you know, a lot of times some of these people act crazy and they be like, well, why are you reading his shit? His shit is, you know, it ain't that good. You read mine, you know. And I think we need to stop stepping on each other, that crab mentality as black people, because we do that a lot. And I see that in this as well. So anybody want to hit on that?
Yeah, I would say something like that. I don't necessarily think it's a crab mentality because remember, Ray, you and I went through the process when we was going through frat lines, remember? You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And you remember everything that you went through that bonded you with all your line brothers. But at the same time, when somebody walks in and they went paper, you don't respect them as much. Why? Because they haven't been vetted. They haven't proven themselves. You went through hell to get where you were, and they just basically bought what they had.
Hey, DV, so, man, that's a fucked up excuse. That's a fucked up example man. See, now I got to go on your side.
but
now I
got to
be on your side. You're right.
Crab in a bucket. It's, you know, you put blood and sweat and tears and ass into this game, and then there's somebody who just stepped in because they wanted something to do on the weekend. You know what I'm saying? So until they prove themselves
but
worthy
not,
of everything.
Okay.
You know, and sometimes like that. I'm not saying that's everybody. But, you know, the majority of black authors are like that.
Yeah. Okay, man. Oh, because you're my partner. I like you, man, and I got to agree with you. But if you were somebody else, I'd be arguing with your ass right now because, no, you're right. What you're saying is correct, man. It's right. And I didn't even look at it. And that's a great analogy that you use. I didn't even look at it in that aspect, and now I have a better respect for that. But the thing is, you know, I understand you got to prove yourself, but, I mean, because they came in, I guess I already proved themselves because they came a certain way. I just think that, you know, and you're right. When you come into a fraternity or whatever sorority and you come in papers, you know how they do the intake process now is different. So, you know, but the reason why it's like that, though, is because the system changed. So now I can come back at you now. The system changed on how you can come at it. And it's the same thing with these books. What I mean by that is it used to be one way into publishing a book. And that had to be to go through a mainstream publishing company or something like that. But now the game has changed because you have technology that has brought it where everybody can come in. Hell, anybody can write a book now and put it on Kindle or whatever and put it out there now.
But it doesn't mean
but
that
that's
everybody...
because the game changed. And just like, and I'm going to let you speak, just like with the fraternities, you know, now with the new intake process, because we fucked it up ourselves by bringing in people and hazing them and doing things wrong, now we have to let them in a certain way. So that's because the game changed. Go ahead.
I wouldn't necessarily say the game changed because they still got brothers right now who are online as we speak going through the process.
It's underground though. It's not above ground like it used to be.
Right.
Yes, it's not a process. Okay.
You know what I'm saying? But this is the thing. You know, until like it's cool to be, you know, paper. Okay, I get that. You know what I'm saying? But don't expect me to come up, walk over there and shake your hand when you didn't go through the same struggle that I went through. I'm sorry. You know what I'm saying? Like, you may end up being cool. You may end up being cool. You know what I'm saying? But at the end of the day, I'm not going, you know, after I got my ass kicked, you know, 3, 4, 5 months in a row, and you was like, here's my money. I want these letters.
Right.
It's not going to be the same thing.
Yeah, I got you to a point. Yeah, I do because I'm an alpha. I understand that. And that does happen because we got some people that came in like that. I'm also
like,
a mason.
How many nights was your booty hurting from the night before, from all that wood you caught? You know what I'm saying?
Hey, man.
You know,
yeah, I know
that
what you're saying.
But let me ask you this.
But let me say this, though, real quick.
What kind of fraternity was you in that you had wood on your ass? What was going on? Come on, let's talk about that.
What are you talking about? My ass. Yo, your boy DV ass cracked, all right?
Women don't want to hear that. We don't want to hear no wood up your booty and your booty hurt. We don't want to hear that.
Okay, we're going to get back on the subject. But look, let me say this. let me say this. Now, damn, I done lost my thought because you messed me up. But anyway, look, it's like this. I understand what you're saying, all the stuff you went through, but I don't think it's fair for us to not, because those people are members of the fraternity, and we're going to get back. We're just using this as an analogy, everybody, just so you know. It's not us talking about fraternities. It's just that using it in the aspect of people that comes into the literary game. You know, they should, even though they didn't come in the same way we did or however we came in, whatever method it was that we came in, I don't think that you should be penalized for that. Yeah, you should be proven. You shouldn't just come in and be just acceptable. But I think that you shouldn't be dogged because you came in a certain way or not respected because you came in a certain way.
Let me get my feedback on the business.
Wait, real quick.
Yeah, go ahead. Come on.
Not
let's get one more job.
Okay.
An author is an author, and we need to stop with this category. You can't categorize the genre and then also set ourselves up to work against each other by saying,
there you go.
I've been hustling. Okay, I self-published in 98. It's, 13 years later? But I saw an author who Michael Bazin picked on his radio show. I saw an author who had a really great book that we had great conversation that knew a lot about promoting. When I first started with my first book, Omar Tyree reached out to me. Terry McMillan reached out to me. I started around the time Victoria Christopher Murray did. She's one of my best friends. We can't say that, oh, you're new to the game, you haven't paid your dues yet, I'm not going to give you your props. We're in this together. This game is hard. There are more than enough readers to go around, and we got to stick together, brothers and sisters. I mentor. I had dinner with Lolita Falls years ago. She came to my house. And she was my hero in the industry. She didn't treat me like I was some new author. So we can't be looking at old and new and how you came in and your genre's this and your e-book. Because let me tell you, the most broke authors out there are with a mainstream publisher.
Don't be fooled by the numbers
people tell you they're selling. Don't be fooled by the book deal amounts people are telling you they're making, because most times they're not true. So don't get me started. Mainstream is
we want you to get started. That's the reason why I brought this up, Pink.
That's the reason why I brought it up because
it seems to me like I've been to a lot of places where this happens. That's the reason why I wanted to talk about that, because I think that, you know, since we're looking at who comes in or whatever, blah, 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 I look at it like this. I agree with you 100%. I think that if you're an author, you're an author. Everybody should be treated the same. But I've been to some places where they don't treat you like that, where they look down on you. And this is other authors that you looked up to all the time while you were coming into the game, and then they treat you like shit. Mm. I've seen that. But that's their problem.
Fair.
I don't stop because of that. But I mean, I've been to some places. I mean, we even been to a place together, the only place we've been together. I've seen some people that was acting crazy there, and then there was some that was acting okay. So, I mean, it just depends on who it is, I guess. But the thing is I just feel the same way you do. Everybody should be the same. As long as you're bringing out some work that's quality and it's not some bullshit and you're really serious about what you're doing, I think you should be treated the same. But go ahead. I know some people got
But see, in the real world, it doesn't work that way. In the real world, there's no such thing. You can't walk into a business and say, well, I got the same education that the president got, so I'm the president. It doesn't work that way. In the real world, you have to be vetted. You have to prove yourself to be considered equal. I'm sorry. That's just the real world. That's the way it works.
But you're talking about somebody coming in trying to be the president.
I mean, just because you write a book doesn't make you a great author.
If nobody
wants
a great author. But you can't look at some author that's coming in and say, well, you're new to the game, and I've been in the game so long, you got to earn your stripes. It sounds like that's what you're saying.
No, what I'm saying is this. There will always be people, because this is the difference. There is nothing required for you to write a book now. You don't need a degree. You don't need a set of requirements. You don't have to feel any obligations. You can just write a book and ship it out regardless of how it is. And you expect the world to accept you just because you wrote a book, when in reality, that's just not the way it is. If you write a book and you're out there promoting it, you're out there pounding the ground, you're out there busting your hump, you're going to get respect from the people around you, period, because they see that you're doing the same thing that they did. No, not everybody.
Isn't that what most people do? Well,
no.
I mean, there's probably some that try to get over it. I'm sure there's some that try to get over it, like in any field.
There are people who put together, there are people who do those things, but they put together a half-assed book, and you want respect. I mean, the thing is, if you perfect your craft, you're going to find the doors will always open for you because you're doing what it takes to be better and to have that.
I don't agree with you because there are people that have perfected their craft, and their books are sitting in their garage or sitting on a shelf not selling. You know,
that's true.
But there are always going to be people like that. There are going to be people who have to do it who are selling like hotcakes. That is just the nature of economics.
347-215-8539. This is Word of Sexy Radio. Call in. This is getting hot. I love it.
I heard that term, selling like hotcakes. What does selling like hotcakes mean? Does that mean selling 20 books a month? Does it mean selling 10,000 a year? I don't know what selling like hotcakes means. It's all relative. But the bottom line is, if you're writing a book that's full of errors, full of typos, you didn't put the time into it, it makes no sense, you're switching up characters, and you're still selling that book, eventually it's going to crumble because water rises to its own level. So you can sing all the songs you want. The bottom line is the reader deserves the quality if they're going to spend $15. And I don't care if they're spending $2.99 on an e-book. They're going to return it. Or they're going to talk about it to somebody about how it wasn't enough pages or it wasn't good A, B, C, and D. So just because someone is selling a lot of books and they're new to the game does not mean they're selling like hotcakes. It all depends on what you say as well.
But those are the same people who aren't necessarily getting respect from the people who actually are putting together good books, who are doing the exact same thing. I mean, we had a conversation with Brian Smith a few months back, and he basically said the same thing that I'm saying. The law of economics will separate the good from the bad every time. But when it comes to respect from other authors, if you're not doing the same thing that they're doing, not exactly, not verbatim, not following their footsteps, and you're putting together a half-assed product and you want them to respect you, it's just not going to happen.
But that's the thing. I think that's what we're saying is that you still should respect that person regardless.
Well, you know what I would say. Let me say this.
You respect
y'all.
Them as a person, but how
not,
you going to
say
somebody as an author?
They may not be the same quality as you, but they should still get the same respect, the very definition of literature. But that may put them in a position of doing better if they see that you're giving them some respect.
This is what I'm getting ready to say.
It's going to shut them down.
That's right. Let me say this. What I have not heard tonight is everybody's talking about how you got these authors that are coming in and they're not putting out the same product or whatever. Why can't we, if we're so good, why can't we help them? Why can't we get them so they to put out a good product?
Exactly.
Why can't we talk to them? And if they want to listen to us, why can't we help them? You know, I might need help. I know my books ain't the best, but my book, I'm trying my best to put out a good product. But my thing is this. If you see somebody putting out some bullshit and they're serious about it, but they don't know it's messed up, then why can't we help them? Why do we have to say we ain't messing with them? We ain't fucking with them because they put out some fucked up shit or whatever. Why can't we try to help them? That's what we should be doing instead of stepping on everybody.
I have people ask me all the time about how to put together a book and what they should do. That's one of my next projects, is helping a gentleman put a book together for himself and making sure that it is good quality for his standards. You know what I'm saying? It's not that I don't look at him any less than myself because I have five books out. I'm very humbled in what it is that I do. I don't see anybody, I mean, there's a lot of people out there that's better than me, but I don't look at it that way. I still want the same respect. If I stepped in the room with Terry McMillan, I still want the same respect. Just because I haven't put out a whole bunch of books and it hasn't been made a movie out of, don't show me less respect than you show her. It's not fair to me.
And you know, I can say this, and I'm not bragging or putting out anything on this, but Miss Cotton and I have been knowing each other for quite some time, and I remember when Miss Cotton didn't have any books. And she came to me, and she asked me about how to get published and what she had to do. What did I do? I showed her what she needed to do, and she has five books now. What if I'd have been one of those authors that said, well, you know, you fucked up. I don't know if you're serious and shit, so I ain't going to help your ass. You know, what if I'd have been one of them? You know what I'm saying? But you got some that's out there like that. I'm not saying that's what you're saying, TV. I'm just saying there's some authors out there that's like that, though.
But
there are some that's out there like that. There are some that's out there like that that won't do it.
Yeah, I have no doubt. But there are young authors who are doing really well who still do the same thing. They're turning their back on you. So it's not, you know, isolated to the people who have been in the game for years. There's social media everywhere that there are people willing to help for free. You know what I'm saying?
But
at the same time,
there are people that have been in the game that seem to get a lot of authors who want them to kind of speed up their own process and give them shortcuts. And so there are some authors who self-published the hard way that was a lot harder than it is now, who did all the research, who went to the bookstores and looked at the acknowledgement sections and researched the agents and read about the crafts and did the work. And so there are some authors who feel that other ones come around and want you to help them. And
they want the short
craft.
Answers
so
to the
do,
hard questions.
Right. So I agree. You do have to put that hard work into it, but it's still a hustle. It is a hustle. It is like
But hustle
anything.
Is part of the
you
hard work.
The hard work, but also the gift, because literally you can be a one-book wonder, but if you don't have a love for the craft, this is not an easy business. And nobody perfected
it. And it ain't
craft.
A get-rich-quick one either.
Perfected it.
No, it ain't.
So if you,
if anybody wants to get rich, this ain't it either.
But
right.
See, the thing is, with writing a book, it doesn't stop at writing. Writing is simply the start of it all. If you're not constantly putting your book in people's faces, if you're not constantly moving from place to place, if you're not constantly reminding people who you are and what you do, then you're going to fall by the wayside, regardless of how great or how terrible your book really is.
It has to be your passion. And you really got to care about the business, and you got to care about the process, and you've got to nurture it. It's important.
If you want success, then those are the things you do. If you're content with just getting books in people's hands, then you're not going to need to go from place to place. If that's what you're happy with, then be happy with that.
I meet people all the time who want me to write their story, and they have this idea they want to tell me about. And they say, oh, I just want to see my book in the store. Well, you know what? You're writing for the wrong reason. You don't write just to see your book in the store.
Right.
You write because you love writing. You're in love with words, and you want the artistic portion of the gift of the process. Writing is tough. It is tough. And so eventually, I think if you write enough and you love enough, having a book deal or not shouldn't stop you from writing. If you want to write, then write on your own.
Writing is
more options now than there ever were.
Right, and I tell people this all the time. Writing is self-gratification, because if you're writing for other people, you will fail. If you write because you want to see, you want stuff outside, you want external stuff, you will fail. If you don't write because this is something you enjoy and something that you love, regardless of the looks on people's faces, then you will fail.
Yeah, okay, well, look, we're going to take a,
you got to be true to your character.
Go ahead. Okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
I hate to cut this off. We're going to do a 5-minute break here. I'm going to play this song, and we're going to give ourselves a chance to kind of regroup, and then we're going to come back and do this last hour, okay? Is that all right?
Yeah, get me to calm down. Go ahead.
Yeah. All right, so I'm going to play this old school joint that I like by Evelyn Champagne King. You'll like it. It's called Kisses Don't Lie.
Okay.
Radio, and we're bringing it to you today, and we got that conversation coming at you again. Just give it a little time and just hang on. Bring a little break in there between, since we had a two-hour show, and kind of get the heat going down a little bit because it was getting a little hot there for a second. But we wanted to do that, and that's why we like to do on Word Sexy Radio, so we just want to keep that thing going. So we are back, and we have about 50 minutes left to talk about whatever subject we have now. And Pink, what do we have now?
Oh, the topic of people who pay for sex, even though they're in a relationship, or even though they've got lovers.
Ooh.
Why?
Ooh.
What is it about sex that you pay for? What's that about?
Okay. You know what? I'm going to tell you, from my experience, I'm going to go ahead and mention, say something, you know, and those who's judging me, fuck y'all. But anyway, I was in a situation like that before when I was married, and I was buying some pussy. I ain't going to lie. Well, and to me, let me say this first of all. When you're married, you're buying pussy. Listen, when you're married, you're buying pussy, first of all. Second, when you're taking somebody out, you're buying pussy. So all of you men out there that think that you talking your shit up and you're doing all this stuff and everything, you're buying pussy. Okay.
Yeah, you're renting it. You're renting.
I just wrecked it, I know. But anyway, look. As far as to get to your answer to your question, why do men do that? I think it's just the thrill of just getting with somebody else that, you know, you can pay for something. And I think what it is basically why some men do it is because they don't have to talk to the woman. They don't have to do anything. It's a business transaction. They go ahead and take care of what they want to do, get the fantasy done without trying to talk themselves to it. Just go straight to the thing and then do it and go on. DV?
I think the greatest quote that I've ever heard is, you don't pay a woman for sex, you pay her to leave. You know, so, I mean.
That is true.
Jumping off from that point, I've never directly paid for sex. Maybe indirectly, we can all say, you know, taking some girl to the movies and showing her a good time is indirectly paying for sex. But me, at this point in my life, I really have a reason to, you know, to buy pussy. So, I mean, I guess I wouldn't be the best person to ask this to.
Here we go.
No,
there's nothing wrong with doing it,
like,
DV. Look, it's
no,
DV,
I'm not
is
saying there's anything
wrong
with
people
it.
To do that.
I'm never saying there's anything wrong with it because
okay.
is on. But all I'm saying
right.
is
well, I was
that,
in the military for 22 years. And
right,
I bought
that's
some
what
ass.
I'm saying. I was just about to say
okay.
that. There's a lot
okay.
of people I know in the military who go overseas
right.
who, you know,
yes.
who do the damn thing. You know,
you're going to do
real
it.
Talk.
Women who pay for sex, too, now. There are women who pay
yeah,
for sex.
Right. That,
there,
that is
there,
correct.
There women
and we're
going
to get to women's side.
Women wise to find men that they're going to have sex with and pay for it.
Like,
okay, so
and,
tell
okay,
us that side of it.
Like, take, for my example, Valentine. You know, Valentine is a female escort. And, of course, you know, being a female escort, men pay for sex. But in all actuality, is there a reason to it? It's the oldest profession in, that we know of. You know, it is what it is. It's rooted in us. We see something, we want it, and it's the easiest means to go and get it. Rather than, you know, take her out and lie to her and tell her that she looks pretty, we can be like, look, here's 50 bones, here's $100, let's do it. You know, so it's just a means to an end. You know, I got needs. You can fulfill my needs. It's a business transaction.
And to kind of answer what you were saying, why do people do it when they have a wife at home? You know, why do people play outside of it when they're not buying nothing with somebody? It's something that they're not getting at home that they feel that they can get on the outside. Whether they buy it or not, or they get with somebody that's going to do those things. You know, that's why it's not good to be with women or men that go out and try to tell people what their husband or wife does, because all it does is open the door for somebody to want to do those things that are, if they're not getting that at home, then they want you to do it. Or if the man is not getting what he think he needs to go, just like that old Alexander O'Neill movie or song that he had, Saturday Love, or, you know, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday is no good, but Saturday he can go out and go get this other person or whatever. You know, it's just one of those things
jam.
That people do. You know, so, you know, I got
so
that.
So is it less
played,
messy?
Anyway.
You think it's just less messy to just go in a hotel
well, you know,
room
it's,
and spend an hour with somebody, and as he said, they go home? Pay him to go home.
Yes.
Well,
you know, most have. And you get good at it. You get good at it. Believe it or not, I was in a relationship a long time. I'm not like this now, so everybody don't judge me. But in my days, I was that way at one point, and I got so good at it that, I mean, when I got home, it was like, hey, I just came from work. Knowing I just got to do fucking something. But, I mean, it's just, it. If you do it enough, then you, I guess you get good at it. But the thing is it right or was it wrong? Why do people do it? I can't really explain it. The only thing I can say is a lot of times men will do stuff and they love their wife. It doesn't mean they don't love their wife that they mess around. See, and everybody get that thing wrong too. You know, it's just that they just have this thing in their nature. And I'm not trying to say that to make it right. I'm just saying there's just some things in them that they can go out and do these things and not feel as guilty as a woman would. Just like we know that men can have sex with you even though the bills ain't paid nothing. But if a woman... No, the bills ain't paid. She ain't even trying to give you none. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's just it's about feeling. It's about men can look at a picture. Some can look at something and be ready to go. And a woman doesn't do that because it's about feeling for women and it's visual for men. So, I mean, I don't know why men do those things. But there are women that go out and buy it as well. So, like you said, I want to hear that side of it.
But see, like Red, what it comes down to is there's no person that lives in a vacuum. We get, as men, we get tired of stagnation. There comes to a point where there are women that we have that's just like, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that. I'm not going to do that. And these are the things that you had before you was married or even earlier in your marriage. So, I mean, I know.
Or something that you want that you never had.
Right, that you never had. Or something that you wanted to try, but you never had the opportunity. Like, I know a woman who has been married to her dude for 19 years, and she has never given him head. And in his eyes, he's like, that is unforgivable. So I got to go out and rent some head, you know.
So,
does
that make
him
right, though?
I can't, you know. I mean, if the thing is, like I told him, you went into this marriage knowing who she was. So for
exactly.
you to kind of be like, you know, for you to kind of all of a sudden be upset about that 19 years later,
yeah.
you know,
is
not
going to
yeah, that is kind of fucked up. Yeah, that is fucked up. Okay, let me see. We got a couple of callers. I'm going to see if they want to have a question. Well, they ran as soon as I said that. Anyway, there's another caller here that 973 area code. Do you have a question? State your name, where you're calling from.
Hi, this is Gwen Carter. How are you?
How you doing, Gwen? Where are you calling from?
Yeah, it's from New Jersey.
Okay,
yeah,
do you have a question?
Hi. I got in on the conversation late, but you're talking about men and women having sex and paying for it if they're married.
Right,
and,
or not married or whatever, yeah.
Mm-hmm, yeah, yeah, because you know Author Andrea Clinton, that's her book, Gold Diggers.
Right, and I know Andrea. She's a good friend of mine. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, so when I heard that, I went, oh, wow, she should be listening to this.
Yeah, but we should have her. Yeah, we should call her. Matter of fact, if you got her number, are you friends with her?
I'm her mother.
You should have her call in, you should have her call in then, because we would love to talk to Andrea.
We can hear Casey.
Just so y'all know, this woman is kin to George Clinton. Just in case y'all didn't know this, the P-Funk man himself. Okay, is this his sister or is this his? How are you kin to him?
Mother, I'm going to say mother-in-law. I'm sorry, sister-in-law.
Okay. So you should have Andrea call in. We got about 41 minutes left. So if she can call in, that'd be good because she has a lot to bring to the table as far as that. Because I love talking to her because she's so smart and educated that she brings a lot of things on the table. But do you have a question?
Now, it's not the old way of prostitution and all. They got mentors going to classes, everything now. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Okay, well, look, go ahead and say hi to all the
people. I got Andrea on the phone now, so I'm going to tell her to call you, okay?
Okay,
she's
do that.
From 973-280-9.
Oh,
okay.
I didn't hear it.
Okay.
All right, okay. So let's keep that going then. Like we were saying, there's lots of reasons why men do certain things, Pink, and the question you asked is a very, very, very good question. Why men buy sex when they got some at home? I mean, there's a lot of reasons why people do different things, you know. Sometimes they just want to do it just because they said they can. I mean, men are weird. You know, I can say that because I am a man, okay? Sometimes you do shit, you just don't know why you're doing it. You know, it don't necessarily mean that you're not getting satisfied at home. It just means that you just want to try something different, and here it is. There's some pussy to buy. You might be at a convention or something, and as we were talking fraternity stuff, you might be somewhere and you see something different. You be like, damn, here's an opportunity. I can get my dick sucked. You know,
yeah,
okay?
Vacation ass.
You know, so you know, I mean, hell, I'm here. I might as well. You paid a bitch $50 or whatever.
Well, the thing is, when you say, well, I'm here, might as well. What are the consequences for that? What are the consequences?
Well, see, there's a lot of consequences.
There are a lot of consequences.
But let me finish my question. Do the consequences ever outweigh the action? Is there anything that says, I'm not going to do this because I might lose the person I'm with if I go ahead and do this?
Yes.
But see,
yes.
It's never immediate.
Yes, it's not. But let me say this. Go ahead, and I'm going to answer it. Go ahead.
Okay, answer that question. There is delayed gratification, and there's also delayed, you know, punishment. You know what I'm saying? If you deal with the instant gratification, if it makes you happy right away, the furthest thing from your mind is dealing with the repercussions of it. So, I mean, yeah, there is punishment, but that's just like telling a man, who hasn't eaten in 30 days, like, here's a steak, but if you eat this, it's going to give you diarrhea. Damn the diarrhea. I'm hungry. You know what I'm saying?
But it could be somebody that did eat the night before. We ain't talking about starving for 30 days. If somebody had their wife the night before, let me say,
you asked what the repercussions are, right? It depends on the maturity of the man. And the reason why I say that is because where he at is in his life. Like me, I'm 50 years old, okay? I just turned 50 September 1st. I just feel like, you know, I'm single, but I feel like I'm a man that don't really want to be out here with a lot of women right now. Now, when I was younger, when I was 30 years old, even 45, there was a time that I wanted to be out here with every damn thing that was out here that had a pussy. But I just feel like right now I'm at the point in my life that I don't want to do all that. Sometimes you get to a point where I feel like the woman that I'm with now, if I was to do something like that, then I would be wrong, and I wouldn't be doing her wrong, and I don't think it's right for me to do that because the way I feel about her and where I am in my life. So it depends on the man where he is in his life, and like you said, the repercussions, like DV said, if he think he ain't going to get caught and he ain't worried about the diarrhea, then he'll go ahead and eat it knowing that the repercussion is there, but if he may not get the diarrhea. He might be the one that don't get it.
Yeah.
See, that's the point. That's what he's saying there. But I think it just depends on where the man is in his life. And every man is different. It doesn't depend on ages. So I want to get that clear, too. There are men that's older than me that's still out here fucking everything. But that's just what they want to do.
Good old man.
That's just what they want to do.
Are you serious? DV, how old are you?
I'll be 34 on Friday.
Okay. So, yes, you are still younger. Okay. So... What I was going to say is...
It's about experience, baby girl.
Ah.
I'm sorry, I had to say that. You know.
Let me see if this is Andrea.
But real talk, what I wanted to say one more thing. What it comes down to is self-control. And, you know, Chris Rock said it best. A man is about as faithful as his options. When we don't teach men self-control, they go after all the things that they like or they enjoy without thinking of the repercussions of what may happen or what might happen down the road, because they're not taught self-control. From the time they turn teenagers, we tell them chase pussy, chase. And then
that's being a man.
So
go ahead,
now,
man. Get out there and get that ass. Yeah.
But now they're supposed to turn it down. Why? What reason do they have to turn it down other than self-control? And if you don't develop self-control, you're not going to have self-control. Women, y'all been taught self-control ever since y'all grew tits, because every man been trying
to
get it ever since you had
it. Don't give it to him.
Women, exactly. Women, you know, or this will be bad or this will happen. You know, women are constantly being reminded that they are supposed to have self-control. Well, men are constantly being reminded that they're not supposed to, you know, they're supposed to be free from their constraints of self-control. So ultimately, that's what it comes down to. If this man, regardless whether he's married or not, has no self-control, and he has an opportunity to get sex, what rationale, what reasoning does he have to really turn it down? Other than just because.
Okay. Right.
Okay.
973 number. 973 number. All right. Are you there?
Yes. Uh-huh. Yeah. Andrea.
Who is this calling?
Yes.
She said she's going to call?
Yeah. She said she's going to call you in about 5 minutes.
Okay. Okay.
All right.
Okay. 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 Well, getting back to what you were saying, and I didn't mean to cut you off. I'm sorry, because I don't want to get in trouble for that. But anyway, look. Hopefully we answered the question for you, Pink, because what I'm saying is there's really no answer. It depends on the man. That's the answer to your question, really. It depends on the man and where he is in his life on whether he wants to do something like that against his woman or not, and how he respects
that woman. If you really look at it, you wrote a book about it. I'm writing a book about it. We're talking about these politicians who do it, who feel that they're entitled.
Right.
Yet you don't see very many females that are in high places doing that. It's usually the male. So that's what's intriguing.
No, you know why you don't see that? Because women know how to cover it up better than men. That's why. In my book, there's two women politicians. No, seriously. Women are better at cheating than men are.
Covering their tracks.
Really, they are. Really, they are.
That means you're saying that just as many women do it, but we don't get caught.
I'm not saying that. Pink, listen. No, really. I'm not saying that women do it as much as men, but what I'm saying is women are more cunning and more cautious than men are, because men tell on themselves. They put cues out and different things to let women know that they're fucking around, but women know how to cover that shit up really well. They do. A lot of times they don't get caught, and women will cover each other better than men. Men are too busy trying to get the same pussy, so they're going to talk about, you don't want to fuck with him. He's doing this shit. He's trying to get the same ass that the other guy's getting. Well, women don't do that. They may be trying to get the same guy, but they know how to cover it better. I just feel that they do.
Well,
they came out with a study.
They came out with a study maybe a few months back that said women cheat almost as much as men. Something like they did a blank survey. I don't know how many people they did, but I remember the numbers. 38% of the men in the survey had cheated. 32% of the women had cheated. You know, but you know what I'm saying? So, I mean, maybe, you know, depending on where they go and,
that's,
you know, the plus minus ratio.
That's worse than an Obama poll. Come on.
Yeah, you know, but
so
they're all.
Let me ask you.
Who's in the room as to what the statistics come out to be. But let me just say that of the men that I know and the women that I know, there are a whole lot more men cheating than the women are cheating. If you really look at
do you think that women don't cheat as much though, Pink?
No, they don't. Women do not cheat as much. First of all, go ahead. You Ms. Cox.
Well,
let me say.
Okay.
Yes, I've been trying to say something for like 10 minutes. Now, okay.
I'm sorry.
So,
go ahead.
I'm going to say to Red, back to your earlier thing, if you're in a relationship, or to any man, not just to you, but if you're in a relationship, man or woman, and you feel like that the things that you're paying for, the kitty cat, then you shouldn't be in that relationship. You shouldn't be in that committed relationship. And if you know you're not ready and you've been trained as a man to just chase it and not constrain yourself, you should never be in a committed relationship, therefore causing hurt to other women. Now, the other thing that I was going to say, because I'm trying to talk quick, because I'm trying to remember everything that I listened to and I have comments for that I didn't get out. So,
I know. Go ahead.
Believe me, I know exactly how you feel.
Y'all trying to say I talk too much. Okay.
No. So then the other thing that I was going to say is he got a big ego. He walked like that because he can back it up, and the same for her. So you keep doing it. And the reason why men keep paying for it, that I think, and then a woman would pay for it, is because women keep allowing, women use their kitty cat as a tool to get to men. If he don't do this, he ain't getting none. If you don't do this, you ain't getting none. If you get on my nerves, you ain't getting none. This is what we do. So if you can go out and pay somebody and she going to let you give it to her like that, then you're going to keep doing it.
Okay.
That's
what
I had to say.
Was that all you had to say?
Girl, go ahead, girl.
No, but seriously, what I was going to say was most of the time, now, Pink, you're right what you're saying, but I think that most of the time when women do cheat, they don't just cheat just to be doing something. It's usually a reason behind it. Is that true?
Well,
women don't
yes,
just go out there and say,
that's,
I just want to fuck around.
Well,
most of the time there is a reason behind
okay,
it, right?
Let me ask. It makes it more risky for a man when a man is just like, okay, I don't have to be in a good mood or a bad mood. I just want to put my dick in some hole. Okay, I just want to fuck. If a man is thinking that, a woman isn't thinking that. Maybe if the man at home isn't as attentive or if he's distant, then she might go out and try to have lunch with the guy at work that's listening to her, and the next thing you know, they're having dinner after work. The next thing you know, they're at the hotel. It's a different process than just a wham, bam, thank you, ma'am, most times with a woman. It takes a little bit longer
okay.
to build up. And sometimes when a woman leaves the man for another man, when a woman gets involved with a man on the side, she usually leaves the man for him. When a man has a woman on the side, he usually doesn't leave the number one woman. So the women are not as apt to jump into it and just say, oh, I'm in Hawaii. I'm going to go pay for a male hooker and have him come to my room. Because that's instantaneous, momentarily, you know, getting off, where it's not the same as a bonding relationship with someone that you are emotionally connected to. That's
right.
My opinion.
I agree. Because there's something
okay.
mental going on in order for a woman to step outside of the relationship. Mentally, the other man is feeding her in some way. She don't even got to have sex with him, but eventually it'll lead
yep.
to that because he's feeding her in all the other areas where she's lacking at home because he's not doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Ah.
I agree.
Okay.
Like, I've...
Let me see. Go ahead. I was going to let this caller call in. 909, do you have a question?
I have a question and five comments. Thank you very much.
is this Miss Farmer that was dogging me on Facebook?
It is Miss Farmer. It is Miss
Farmer.
All right,
look. Okay, well, I got you on now. Go ahead.
But where I'm going to get to, I'm going to start right here at the bottom.
Okay.
You know, having sex for money, they'll do it because it's unconditional sex. Men want unconditional sex more so than women. Men want to be able to lick you, stick you, and leave. He don't want any questions asked. He don't want to talk about it. He just want that, and he just want to go on about his business.
I'm so
right.
fucking glad I let
I think
you get on.
Lick
God damn, go ahead.
The old lick, stick, and kick. That's what you mean, the old lick, stick, and kick.
Go ahead,
women look for emotional attachment sometimes because they're missing an ingredient at home, and they can't seem to find it. Now, today, a lot of women cheat because they're hurt, and hurt people will hurt people. So
that's what I was saying. It means something when they do it. Right.
Right. Because maybe that man went out and did it, or maybe they've been cheated
revenge.
On. And so I'm like that. I'm a female, and I say what's good for the goose is good for the gander. And I'm going to say
I ain't heard that
something.
In a long time. Hell yeah.
Yeah, because, you know, my husband played pro football, and you know, I always told him that if I ever find out that you went out and did anything, you can best believe all the money you have and you will be rich, and I'm going to go out and do it too.
If your husband plays pro football, of course you can't tell us what team.
And do unto others as you want them to do unto you. If you don't want to
hear
about the crew, Mr. Tom up the street or Mr. Jones or anybody else, then you better leave Susie, Betsy, Tabitha, and everybody else alone because you really don't have a reason to leave the house to go out and mess around because I'm going to be your wife, your maid,
Your girlfriend, your father, your girlfriend,
mm-hmm. your other woman, the male lady, the carpet cleaner. I'm gonna be the nanny. I'll put on all those uniforms.
And
it starts
your
at
husband
home.
Is a lucky bitch. You know what
it
you do.
It starts at home, and if you can't take care of home, you damn sure can't take care of nowhere else. And if a man step out, A lot of them step out on general purpose, GP, just because. They have
right.
no reason to, but they do.
That's what I was saying.
And she's preaching like a mug, ain't she?
Wait a minute. Like, we're sitting here absconding women from, because, like,
got,
when I was
wait,
out.
Wait, let me say. Wait,
hey,
and,
talk,
you got to keep it in. You got to keep it in the bedroom if you don't want somebody else to try it.
But you got to think about this too. If you're in a committed relationship, as she's saying, women, we just automatically know if we love you and we're in a committed relationship with you, we know that your ass just went out there and cheated. It's whether it's how we address it, and we're probably some of us
it's
are
how
planning
you deal with it
for the day. We planning for the day that we gonna really get your ass caught up in a big way.
Well, you know what?
I know that's right.
Like,
oh,
you
hey,
don't ask questions that you don't want the answer to, but you don't go looking for it. But then if you find out that your man is cheating, how do you treat it? All you do is ask it one time. Are you out there fucking around? And if his answer is no, you've already planted the seed of doubt in his head, and he gonna think you already know, so the fire is gonna start dying out. Because he knows if he get busted, he ain't even gonna know he dead.
Yeah,
I know that's right. 702 area code 702. You have a question?
Thanks, hey.
No, I'm just here. I'm listening. I'm innocent bystander. Continue, ladies.
Look, gentlemen. you need to talk, brother, because we need some help. It ain't number two, man, two men in here, and we got three women. Come on, now we need your help. No, I'm just playing. No, go ahead.
I'm listening to the lady.
Okay, brother.
Can I jump
we thank
up to
you
the
for
next
calling
for
in.
The communication.
Yeah, go ahead, because you got 26
okay,
minutes.
We
Come on,
there,
baby.
Because you guys hit so many things, and I was jumping all over my bedroom. Communication.
I'm sorry, sweetheart. I am so sorry.
Communication in a relationship is as eggs is to a cake.
Uh-huh.
You have to talk. Men are from Mars and women are from Venus. Men will go into a huddle, they get quiet, they don't want to talk because they don't like conflicts. Women, we have to talk things out. And, you know, you have to go into a relationship both ways, open-minded. And I base things on my relationship. It's not 100% happiness all the time. But, you know, my husband will always have the last word in this relationship, always. And his last words are, yes, dear. And that's it.
God damn.
Wow.
Yes, dear and shit.
Wow.
Oh.
Hey, well, you know what?
Can you please get his balls off the wall? Damn.
It's not about that. Why argue? Why argue? Because my husband understands that if we can't communicate in this marriage, if we get a divorce and we see each other out the street, I'm not gonna say hi to you and how you doing, because I'm not gonna give a damn how you doing, because we didn't talk when we should have in the marriage and where it counts most. Marriage and relationships.
Yeah, but why
like
his balls gotta be cut off and shit though? God damn.
Pink, she castrated him. No, it's not that. I mean, when he does stuff for me, I always tell him thank you. But you know what? He's a man. He doesn't have to go out there and look for pussy. He don't have to go out there and get AKA, you know, head. He don't have to go out there and look at another woman's ass or a tits, because honey, when we go out, I'll show it all if that's what he wants to see. He don't have to get up for his dinner. I make his plate. He don't eat canned vegetables. I cook fresh vegetables every day. I cook a dinner. He don't
but
have
you know something, baby. All that what you're saying is great. I've seen men that get all that what you're talking about, and they still go out there and fuck up.
But you know what?
Wow.
They do it because
there are no absolutes.
She allow it. She don't have anything, no substance in her relationship. You've got to have substance in the relationship.
Okay, look, I think we got Andrea Clinton here. Miss Clinton, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. How you doing?
How you doing this evening, Miss Andrea Clinton? How's it going? Introduce yourself to everyone real quick. We got about 24 minutes.
All right. This is Andrea Clinton. I'm the author of the Life Knows No Bounds series. I don't know what else. That's all I can say.
Okay.
What else you want me to put on the
table? Okay, well, you've been listening to Miss Farmer and everybody that's been speaking so far, right? You've been on for a little bit, right? So there's been a lot of subjects that's been talked about tonight, and I know your mom was on earlier, and I don't know if she and gave you a synopsis of what was going on, but right now what we're talking about, Miss Farmer was saying how she takes care of her husband, and I think she's doing a great job what she's saying. But still, how do you keep a man from going out and fucking around? I guess basically what the question was. Pink, what was the question again?
But no, it was people pay for sex. It didn't specify
male or
female.
It was why someone would pay for sex when they're in a relationship or marriage.
Okay, Andrea, what's your take?
The paying part, I think that's that type of man. As far as him going out and cheating, I just think, you know, the flesh is weak, and, you know, men get tempted. I don't think that they can hold tight as well as women. And I'm speaking from a woman who has a family of men, so I'm not just talking off the cuff. I've talked to my brothers and my uncles and cousins. I wanted to know, like, what is the deal? Like, should I just sit back and know any man I get is going to cheat, or is it okay to dump this dude for cheating because the next person may not be that type? And every man in my family since I was young have told me that a man is going to cheat. They said how often and if he's going to be a dog about it or whatever, that's his personality. But for the most part, at some point in time, the flesh is going to get weak and he's going to give in. As far as that whole prostitution thing, I just think, you know, those are those type of men that just, you know, they like getting down with the funky get down, you know what I mean? So they'll pay for it, they'll get it for free, whatever, you know, they just, you know, that's them, you know what I mean?
I like how she said that. That reminded me of your uncle there with that one. Okay, go ahead.
No, but I mean, that's what I'm just thinking. I mean, I can't, you know, I can't think of no other reason. Me personally, I'm thinking with a woman's brain probably, but I couldn't see myself buying something like that. To me, I think that would make me feel low. Like, you can't walk up in the club and put the Mac down and just go home with somebody. You got to actually kick out some dough. You know what I'm saying? Something wrong there.
And like Pink's example was that you have a wife at home and you still go out there and do it. Now, I gave myself, I said some things earlier about me because I'm a man and I'm honest. And if people want to judge me, then fine. Well, when I was married before, and when I was married in my younger years, I did go out and do some of those things. Mm. And it was just because, and the reason why, like I said it before, I went out and done that. I'm not happy about it, but I did. And when I did do it, it was I got the satisfaction that I wanted at that time, because it was something that I wanted to do. I was missing at home at the time, like DV said, you know, your wife wasn't sucking head or wasn't doing anything. You talk about it, they don't want to do it. It's just different things, you know, reasons why men do it. Sometimes you just do it just because you want something different. Don't necessarily mean that everything is fucked up at home.
Yeah,
you don't love your wife either. It does not mean. Let me say that. It does not mean you don't love your wife.
Yeah, no, I believe that. I believe it because I've just been around too many, like I said, brothers and cousins. I have, like, more men in my family around my generation than I did females. So I was able to get the inside straight, you know what I mean? Like, I'm seeing these fools go and do stuff only to turn around and regret it and be somewhere crying or upset and trying to figure out what happened. It's like, what do you mean what happened? Don't you remember what happened was you had got up, and you went out, and you saw the girl, and you hit it, and then you came back, and she found out, and she broke up with you. See what I'm saying? And they sitting there like, yeah,
right,
but I'm
right,
just saying.
Right.
It's just saying right, you know? So I've seen it like that. No particular, you know, motive, no reason, you know, like you said, no motivation or anything like that. They just, you know, wanted to do it, and they were young, and the girls were young. So I know it wasn't like they wasn't getting any. And some of them were freaks, so I know it wasn't like they wasn't pleasing them in different ways. It's just, you know, especially when you're talking about young people going to do that. You know what I'm saying? They're going to experiment. I was trained when I was young. I think I told you this before, Red. I was trained by pros and hoes when I was young.
Right.
That
you
don't, when a man is young, he's going to do it. Just etch it in your brain and just get with the program. It's up to you what you're going to do after that. But when he's young, he's going to cheat. And that's just, and I really believe it. It wasn't just
so
put
Ms.
in
Farmer,
my head.
So, Ms. Farmer, are you still there, Ms. Farmer? I'm not trying to cut you off.
Yes,
Andrea,
I'm here.
Hold on.
I'm here.
No, that's
okay.
Cool.
I'm here.
Now, what I wanted to do, what do you have to say to that?
I think that's true. That's correct, because the older they get, the more mature they become.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's what I was saying. That's what I was saying.
You know, they realize that all hamburger buns is not worth you sticking your hot dog into.
Yeah, yeah.
Why would you stick your hot dog in a hamburger bun?
Well, hot dog, you know what I mean.
Cotton,
you got the point. You got the point. You always yakking off. You got the point.
He always be true. Miss Cotton,
real
talk. Are you still there?
In other words, you just don't go sticking your dick in any pussy because all pussy ain't good.
Okay, there
pussy.
We go. I get that.
Well, there you go. All pussy ain't good pussy.
But
there you go. Miss Cotton, I know you got something to say on that.
Hello.
Are you still there? Okay.
I'm
aware. Did you hear everything that was said?
I heard it, and my belief is, and my saying is that all men cheat. They just don't cheat all the time. You know, there'll be a period in their life where they may not want to do that anymore. And it's not that they're a cheater. It's just that they may have a slip up. Now, a cheater is different from somebody who cheated.
Yeah.
So you have to know the difference. And And if that's who he is, that's who he's going to always be till he changes his mind. I don't believe that a woman can make a man change. He has to want to have that control, because he knows what he has at home is worth more than anything out there in the street.
There you go. Now, Pink, I know you got an opinion.
It's like you brought the question. More expensive than money.
Right.
Well,
now, Pink, you brought the question. So what's your there you go. Go ahead.
The word that Ms. Farmer used was unconditional. So it's like there's, you know, you hit it and quit it and you're gone and you move on. I think that's why they do it a lot. But also, you know, the author that was just on, what's her first name again? I'm sorry.
Andrea,
I'm
sorry. Hi, Andrea. She said, you know, I don't think they can hold, that men can hold tight like women can. They can't hold tight as tough as women can. We can hold tight tougher and longer. But when we start giving that attention to the guy at work or giving that attention to the guy around the corner because you're busy and you ain't taking care of business, we're usually going to bond quicker. Because, you know, truly, when you have sex, I told you this before, we know it's true, when a woman has an orgasm, her oxytocin level kicks up, and women bond quicker. So I understand men might want to be with somebody, hit it once and never see them again. But if you're hitting it repeatedly, the woman's going to start calling you more, wanting to know what's up. If she likes you, not just if you're good in bed, if she likes you and she's bonding to you, then you're just going to need to give her more attention. So I can kind of see why, after this conversation, I appreciate it. I can kind of see why a man would kind of do the whole, you know, I'm paying you to leave thing, where it's unconditional as opposed to a conditional, somebody you meet at the club, or like, you know, when I was single, I wasn't going to bring anybody to my house. It was like, no, because I don't want them showing up at 3 in the morning or catching the case or whatever. No. So I can understand why men do that.
It's a business.
Okay,
well,
let me say this real quick. Ms. Farmer, do you have anything else you would like to say?
I want to say something else.
Okay. Okay.
Go ahead. You say yours.
No, you go ahead.
No, I just wanted to get Ms. Farmer there. I wanted to see what she had to say, if she had anything else to add to that before we go forward.
That's true, and I'm going to tell you from a pro athlete's wife, perspective on, it's not really cheating. Is, you know, every man wants a little taste of somebody else's honey.
Yeah,
I'll have a little of my money, and you know you know, and that's how it is. And I said, one day I will tell Pink, and she can share with you, and I'll tell you my story. You know, every man cheats, but do you really know that they're cheating? Do you really know? I can tell people to this day, and I believe it in my heart, that my husband is no different. He was no different when he was playing football than Tiger Woods and Kobe Bryant and anybody else. Can I prove it? No. But I'm a woman, and I know he's a man. And I know they will do it.
That's good. That's good.
I'm glad
that you said it.
And
I'm not saying that you have to accept it either, but yeah.
Well,
but
you know what? Let me tell you, honey, I have accepted. I've had women on Facebook to actually, in the past, to say, oh, yeah, I slept with your husband or I did this. But, you know, like I told, that was before he was my husband, so I don't care.
Right. But you know what? You know what else also? The thing that I respect is the fact that she can't say that he did. I love that.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Right.
Don't get me wrong.
That's good.
I'm not saying, like, oh, he could cheat as long as I don't know. I'm not saying that. I'm not going to give you a green card or a credit card to go out there and cheat.
Right, right.
But what I'm saying is the fact that she can't call it.
Yeah,
the fact that she can't call it, like, because you know. When when your mate, be it your husband or your wife, when your mate cheat, you know, you get signs. And my father's about 67 years old. He's probably one of the coolest street jokers you ever want to know. And he walks around, every time he visits, he always putting us down on something just to kind of school us. And one of the things he always says is, when your mate cheats, you know. You may be ignoring the signs, you may not want to see it, you may, you know, shuck it to the side for a happy little moment or day with them, but you know the signs are there. But
you know,
the
fact
that
how you know,
fact,
go ahead, Bibi.
The soap he used is not the soap you use at home. You know, you don't use the same soap away from home because you don't carry it with you. And every woman knows what her poutine smells like.
I know that's right. Go ahead, DV.
Anyway, you know what upsets me about this whole conversation? That people are speaking in absolute. Like there's no man anywhere that has never cheated on any woman anywhere. Me personally, I have never cheated on a woman I was committed to at any point in my life. You know what I'm saying? But understand this. It was my... No, but understand this. The reason why is because I know a lot of dudes like that. I saw what happened when it happened, and I didn't want to be that guy. I positioned myself so that I would never be that atypical guy, that guy that messed around, because all I heard was women talk about those men badly, and I was like, I don't want to end up like that guy. So I consciously
You never cheated.
I have never cheated on a woman I was committed to at any time in my life.
Oh, that you was committed to. Okay.
But was she committed to you? Have you ever been committed?
Or whether she was committed to me, or whether, if I knew, if I was conscious, if I was aware that that was her commitment, then I was like, look, you know, if it was going to work, then I try to make it work. If it wasn't going to work, I'm not going to sit up there and lie to you. It's not working out. You know,
so in other words,
so,
you was a hoe and they didn't know.
No, because you know what? I was never really a hoe. I've always been an introvert by nature. I typically don't like people. So
well, I don't either,
just,
but I don't go around sharing
but,
my pussy with everybody.
I'm going to tell you like
damn,
this.
Damn, I should be sounder.
But wait, let me finish. And I'm going to share a tidbit with y'all, because I know women don't, you know, they don't hold a candle when it comes to men. Men really don't hold a candle when it comes to women. Because when I was in college, I was dancing. And I can't tell you how many times I see women come through the club and take dudes home. So it's not like dudes have monopoly on messing around. You know, and like I said, I didn't want to be that guy, because I saw what happened to everybody else. I saw the bad things that happened. I saw, you know, people walking away with HIV. I saw people walking away with herpes. I was like, that's not going to be me. You know what I'm saying? So I made a conscious effort not to be that person, or else I may have ended up like those people.
You know, I know a lot of people like me. You are right.
Yeah, we got about 10 minutes, people, so let's get a wind down on what you got to say.
Hey,
Ray, I wanted to throw something out there real quick. You know, my father said to me, he said, you know, when, oh my God, just that fast. Okay, somebody else talk. I forgot it that fast.
That's okay.
That's the same thing that happened to Magic Johnson. He wanted to do all that stuff, and you saw what happened to him. You know,
Magic.
I've always lived by this.
You do dirt, you get dirty.
Right.
I got my own opinion about Magic Johnson. I'm not even going to go into that because
Magic Johnson gay.
I'm not saying that he was gay. That's not what I was going to say.
I was going to say
that whole A thing was bullshit, that he really don't have that shit.
I think so. But then again, we can talk later on, but you know what? I believe he had it because I knew the environment that he was in. Because, like I said, you know, I came from that environment too. So I know what he was into. But he wasn't gay. It's just like, you know, he just wanted to try different things. I'm not gay, but if my husband say let's go to a swing club or let's go do this or let's go, you know what? I'll try it once.
Meet you there.
Yeah.
My brother got a great job.
Okay. Well, you know something? We got about 9 minutes. And what I want to do right now is I want to thank everybody that called in and everybody that's had something to say. This was definitely a great 2-hour show. And I think we probably need to do this more often and have the show just be 2 hours and just kind of talk more. And we will talk about books and all that stuff too. But my thing is this was a very good subject, Pink, and I thank you very much for it. But what I want to do is have the panel go around and kind of say what they got coming up. You got 8 minutes left. What you got coming up, and so that we can kind of get you a little exposure. So we'll start with Pink and then go around Ms. Cotton and Andrea and then the brothers.
Well, this is Pink, P-Y-N-K. One of the reasons I asked those questions, well, mainly really the whole cheating thing, paying for sex, is because I'm writing a book called Politics That Supports Blackmail. What's that talking?
Hey, DV.
Yeah.
Steve, what you doing, man? She trying to talk, man. What's up, man?
That ain't me.
Somebody, let me.
That ain't me.
Well, let me mute everyone then. Let me mute some folks. Go ahead.
Okay, the other reason I wanted to talk about relationships is I'm wrapping up a book right now where there's a couple and the man had an affair 7 years ago, repeated sex. But then in the new version, he finds out that his wife was attracted to someone and let the guy come up to her hotel room in Vegas, and she kissed him, and he left.
So he can't handle the fact that she kissed someone, but she handled the fact that he was screwing somebody repeatedly. So I don't know. I think men are more apt to leave a woman who cheats than women are. We're more forgiving, and we tend to stay. That whole philosophy of that is why I like doing these shows, because it helps with the characterization and listening to feedback. I appreciate a man who's saying, I never cheated on a committed relationship. I appreciate that.
It goes against the norm.
We're not saying everybody cheats at all, but that's what I do. I love relationship stories, and so, you know, that's what I'm wrapping
up. But DV never cheated. Liar. DV doesn't cheat in a committed relationship.
But you know what saves me? The fact that I stay away from people, that I don't get myself caught up in all the headaches. So, I mean, that is my only saving grace.
And that's what I say. And the Bible even says that. If I had to go church on you for a minute, it says that, you know, when you see something like that, Paul. Now, listen, Paul said flee. You got to flee from that shit. So he didn't say flee from that shit, but he said you got to flee, you know, from it. When it's there, you don't keep yourself involved knowing that it's going to get you. So, okay, now let me get the next person to go ahead and say something. Was it Cotton? Go ahead, Miss Cotton.
My name is Cotton. I'm the soft-spoken poet. It's Cotton with the K-O-T-T-Y-N. I have 5 books out. The last book that I put out is called The Love Letter. And I'm doing some shows, some poetry shows. I don't do spoken word. I do poetry. And it's more sensual, not so much erotic, even though I've been labeled erotic. And that's basically what I do. But I did want to say is that cheating isn't always sticking your dick in somebody's vagina. You know, sometimes it's that lunch that you had with the woman that your wife didn't know about, or that person didn't know about. So anything.
Damn,
that
that's cheating. Fuck.
Yeah, that's cheating too.
Yeah. Effort and motive.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Okay, Andrea.
There yes, is. And I thought of what I was going to say. I'm going to say it real quick. My father said to me before, he said, you know, if you're not married, he really don't owe you nothing. And so I wanted to put that on the table, because there's a difference between when you marry and he cheats and when y'all together and he goes out. Because even if y'all go together and y'all living together and paying all the bills, the fact that he didn't go before God and swear or promise to do something, he don't really owe you nothing. And I honestly believe that. You know, the way
right.
my father put it just was cut. It was real cutthroat. You know what I mean? But
I
wanted to throw that out there, though. But
I'm single and shit. I ain't trying to do that. So, no.
But I'm Andrea Clinton, and I wrote the Life Knows No Bounds series. The first book was One Who Loves You More. It's on Smashwords, an ebook for the ebook, the Droid, the iPad, and all that other good stuff. You can even get it for your computer. It's on Kindle. Getting ready to put it up on Barnes and Noble. The second book that's coming out in November is A Blessing and a Curse. And that, again, that's the second book in the Life Knows No Bounds series. So I'm just looking forward.
You need to come on the show and do that one. So I'll talk to you about it.
Oh yeah. We're gonna do that. That's definitely in the works.
Okay.
That's it for me now.
DV. Okay, DV.
What's up, everybody? I might as well call myself the controversial one. I talk a lot of shit. This is a part of who I am. This is my escape from reality. DV, like, I am currently the author of 2 novels, the first one being If You Don't Tell, the second one is Valentine. You know, I love these roundtable shows because, you know, it really gives us an opportunity to talk about a lot of this, the things that we aren't supposed to talk about. You know, the whole, you know, strong woman thing, paying for sex, I love those topics. You know, because it brought out a lot in us that we had a lot to say. In fact, I didn't even know we was going to have 2 hours of conversation until the 2 hours was damn near up. So, you know, I really appreciate you guys for calling in and adding to the conversation, because, you know, we catch a lot of people who don't say anything or who just want to listen instead of participate, and there's nothing more integral than participation, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, I love you ladies. I love the conversation, but the one thing I don't do is I never speak in absolutes, because, you know, not everybody is everything. So, I mean, that's
right.
The one thing that I try to stay away from. We can say most, we can say some, we can say a few, but I would never generalize all men, you know, because all men aren't like that. I would never generalize all women, because all women aren't like that. But, you know, other than
absolutely.
That, you know, I love you guys, you know, and I appreciate this opportunity.
All right. Well, I'm Red Snapper, for those of you who don't know. I'm Red Snapper. I'm the host of the show, and DV is my co-host. And this is Word Sexy Radio, and I have 10 novels out. Actually, it's 9 novels and 1 anthology. The Scandalous Motive series, and they're all erotica, most of them. There's a couple of paranormal joints that I have out as well, but they're still sexual, so it might as well be paranormal erotica. But I love doing the shows. I love this. I love having this, and I'm going to do more of these because I think I get more out of this. You know, I like interviewing authors about their books and letting them talk about the books, but we'd love to talk about these subjects and get this stuff out because I like to give people a chance to come on the show and be able to be themselves and talk and not have to worry about having a scripted interview. That's the reason why I do it the way I do. I never send questions out. I always want people to be able to talk from there, shoot from the hip, and bring it out. So that's why, and you can talk and say what the fuck you want on this show because there's no bleeping, there's no cussing, there's everything you want to do on here. If you want to cuss, talk about whatever we do it here. So with that, I just want to thank everyone that's been on the show tonight and all of you, please, I need you all to come back again. And you always, Word Sexy Radio is your home. We're going to keep this thing going. Pink, I thank you for the subject matter that you brought for us tonight. And we definitely want to keep on having you bring some of your expertise as well. And Andrea, thanks for coming in at the end.
Oh, you're welcome.
Ms. Cotton, we thank you very much for your input because you definitely have a lot to bring to the table with your smart self. And DV, man, you did the controversial one. I love that shit, man. You keep it going. So what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to play one of Parliament's songs because I want to do that for Andrea as well as everybody else. I'm going to do Dr. Funkenstein, and I thank y'all for being on.
All right, thanks for having me.
Have a good night.
Good night, bud.
Or call me the big deal. Dr. Funkenstein, the disco king with the monster sound, the cool groove with the bone transplant.
Hip bone connected to my thigh bone, my thigh bone connected to my leg bone connected to my ankle bone.
I get broken up on bones. Dr. Funkenstein here.
Preoccupied and dedicated to the preservation of the motion of the hip.
Kiss me on my ego.
Tripping and body sex.
I'll blow your mind.
Coming to you directly from the mothership. Pulling up the last leg of the beatbox.
Sunglasses on out there.